So we're in chapter 19 of the Path of the Just, and we're discussing love of Hashem. We know there's a mitzvah in the Torah. We say in the Shema every day, "Ve'avta Hashem Elokecha, love the Lord your God v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha v'chol your heart v'chol your soul your might." And it's probably one of the hardest mitzvot to do. And we know that there were certain greats that we had that really loved Hashem. And the classic case was David HaMelech. And we talked about last week. We said just like a heart, which is a kind of deer, thirst for water, it says Sama Nafshi Lelohim. I'm thirsty for God. So it's a great love for Hashem. And Shlomo Melech, his son, writes Shir HaShirim, which is a beautiful love story between man and God. So again, the yearning and the desire for God, which is tremendous in David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, his son. But what is love? So let's see if we can make it more practical than that. So number one is, he says, love is meant to be not dependent of anything. It's meant to be independent, which is very hard because most people, they like someone when things are going well, and if things don't go well, then they don't like them. Right? If someone's nice to you, you like them. If someone is mean to you, you don't like them. And that's a big question, because sometimes things happen to a person which are not so pleasant. And we know everything is from Hashem, ultimately. And therefore the person says, hey, why doesn't Hashem love me? If Hashem doesn't love me, I don't love him. So here he tells us a very important secret. That love of Hashem should not be dependent on anything. So whether a person is doing well, it's hard. It's really hard. Whether a person is doing well or whether a person is not doing well. It's like a person is born with some kind of disability. You can imagine it's very hard. It must be a very big test for a person. Because Hashem, look what you did to me. Look, from birth, you knocked me from birth. You gave me this ability. Horrible, horrible. Bar Minan. So he says this love should be independent. It should not be dependent on anything. And that's what Pirkei Avot says. And what does Pirkei Avot say? Ezehu ahava she'en la tluya b'davar. Which love was not dependent on anything. It was Yonatan and David. David and Yonatan. Right? But love which is dependent on something, if that thing goes, love goes. So the person says, loves a woman because of her beauty. When she gets older, she's not so beautiful, so don't love her anymore. He loves her for her money, and when she loses her money, doesn't love her anymore. He loves her because she has a good job. When you lose a job, it happens sometimes, marriages. Yeah, it happens as one spouse likes the other because they have money and they have a car and they have this. And when the fortune's reversed, marriage falls apart. Right? So that is a love which is a dependent love. That's a love, a dependent love. But that's some people love Hashem because it's dependent love. It's very hard. But a lot of people love Hashem because things are going well, so thank God, Hashem, Baruch Hashem, thank you, Hashem. So I'm so grateful, Hashem. But a person should not make their love of God dependent. That's what we're saying over here. That's not true love. So when a person's doing well and everything's going well, he loves his father. He loves Hashem. But that's not true love. True love is when things are not going well, the person loves the father. So it's like a son, he says. That it's love which is internal, natural love. Well, it's not love which is dependent on other things. It's love which is internal, intrinsic love. It's almost like an animal, right? What does an animal have? Instincts. It's an instinctual love.
So do you think we were born with that love?
Put it this way. I've seen kids who have that love. God. What happens is, unfortunately, education knocks out that love.
The love to God. Natural love to God.
Natural love of Hashem. A lot of kids are born with natural love of Hashem. And then educationally, we kill it. And even yeshivot kill it sometimes. Because, you know, through discipline...
Or family
kills it. I've seen it. I had a child over here in the shul. I don't know if I had the story. He used to have a little Sefer Torah. He said, I love Hashem. I want to be a rabbi. I love Hashem. I want to be a rabbi. His mother says, no, you're not going to be a rabbi. Take me the Torah. That was the end of him. And that was the end of hopefully it was not the end of him. But I haven't seen him since. No, I see him every Yom Kippur, but it's not the same. It's very hard. Unfortunately, his mother passed away. Terrible. Not very good. But so a person's got to be very careful. You have to nurture the flame. The parent's job is to nurture the flame or to ignite the flame. Sometimes, you know, some kids will have it naturally. I know one of my brothers was natural. Natural. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, a 5-year-old boy reading Tehillim. I've never seen anything like it. But he was a natural. He's natural. I was not natural, but it's inside, so you've got to nurture it somehow. It's got to come out. Some people are natural, some people are not natural, but inside it's there. It's the spark inside every Jew. Every Jew has a spark. We just have to ignite that spark. But what he's telling us is love of Hashem should not be something which depends on what Hashem gives us. It should be something which is instinctual. A person's going to have an instinct, an automatic. It's very hard. Some people have it, some people don't have it. But what he's saying is it's got to be like love of a parent. You love your parent regardless. Well, today it's not so true. It's amazing how society is weird, warped. People don't love their parents. People think their parents owe them, and their parents didn't give them enough. They don't like their parents.
But it is instinctual. It is an inborn necessity that gets ruined.
Gets ruined. Exactly. It gets ruined. I've seen it. I've seen this love between mother and child, mother and daughter, and you see love between parents. And unfortunately, what happens? I don't know. It gets ruined. But that's what he's telling us. He says this is a love which is instinctual. The person knows from birth. And that's what the Prophet tells us. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, Halohu avicha kanecha. He is your father. He is your boss. He is your father. Hashem is our father. You have to love Hashem like your father. So they ask you, what about a father who is abusive? What do you do? How do you love your father if he's abusive? So the answer is, we have to really understand this answer. The answer is, there's no mitzvah to be around the parents. If they're abusive, they don't have to be around them. You just can't do anything negative. But still, there has to be kudah v'ayim. Kudah v'ayim applies whether they're abusive or not abusive. They just don't have to be there. But you still can't do anything negative. You have to do always positive and not negative. So how do you love your father as abusive? And the answer is, the father did so much just to bring us into this world. I mean, people don't appreciate being in this world. People don't appreciate being alive. Unfortunately, it's a sickness today. A lot of people want to take their lives. It's hafuch. A person has to appreciate the gift of life, because where there's life, there's hope. Where there's life, you can grow. Where there's life, there's spiritual hope. Where there's life, you can acquire olam haba. Where there's no life, there's nothing. A person has no opportunity. So a person's going to love their parents, whether their parents are good or bad. Why? Because the parents gave them opportunity. And it's up to us to make the most of it. That's the whole thing. So it's very easy to blame the parents. And a lot of people do. So no, people don't want to feel guilty. They just want to blame someone. So they blame their parents. Because of my parents, I'm like this. Yeah. Because of my parents, I'm like this. So that's, you know, you can credit the parents as well. So what he's telling us is love of Hashem should not be because of what Hashem gives us. Whether Hashem gives good, bad, it's like love of a parent. You cannot escape it. You cannot escape a love of a parent. So whatever the parents do, you have to love your parents. It's instinctual.
You have to love them or respect them?
Put it this way. The Torah does not say you have to love them.
Honor
it's
them.
Taken for granted. You know, the Torah does not have to tell you something which is obvious. That's a very important rule in the Torah. For example, let me give you an example. The Torah, which bracha is it from the Torah? Berakah mazon. Ve'achalta. Ve'savata. Uberakta. You will eat, be satisfied, and blessed, right? From there, the rabbis learn out. Kal v'chomer. If when you're satisfied, you have to say a bracha, how much more so when you are
hungry?
When do you need Hashem more? When you're satisfied or hungry? When you're hungry. So why does the Torah say a bracha when you're hungry? Because the Torah would have said, say a bracha when you're hungry. You say, okay, when I'm hungry, I'm going to say a bracha. When I'm satisfied, don't say it. I don't need Hashem. So the Torah tells us the less likely case, because the likely case is so obvious. So loving your parents is so obvious. Loving your wife is so obvious. Doesn't say it says, ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. A person's got to figure out, who's my best friend? I got to love my friend, right? I don't have to love my parents. It's so obvious. Like, some things don't have to be written, right? For example, there's a big debate. The first mitzvah in the Ten Commandments. What's the first mitzvah in the Ten Commandments? Is that a mitzvah?
Yep.
So it depends. So according to Rambam, it's the first mitzvah in the Torah, to know there's a Hashem. But according to Bahag, Baal HaChok Dolot, he says it's a pre-mitzvah. Because first you have to know there's a commander before you get a command. How can you have a mitzvah without a commander? He said there's such a thing as a pre-command. In other words, some things are so obvious and so, you don't have to talk about it. If there's a mitzvah to love God, then obviously there is a God. Obviously you have to believe there's a God. Who gives you the mitzvah? So anyway, so there is a concept in the Torah, it's a very important concept which people don't even know about. And that is the concept that not everything has to be a mitzvah to tell you what to do. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. The Torah says you have to listen to the rabbis. Right? Now, does that apply just to Jews or also to non-Jews? Isn't that wild? It's a wild question, right? Rav Avadia Yosef brings down. He said there's a concept that says if the Torah wants to tell us you have to listen to the rabbis, it's revealing to us, to the whole world. No, it's not just the mitzvah to Jews. It's a revelation that rabbis have some knowledge that you have to listen to, which applies even to non-Jews. In other words, there's a light in the Torah which is not even doesn't have to be said. It's so, in other words, a person can use their brains when they learn Torah. It's like a guidepost. This is the way, the direction. Now you got to follow the general direction. So a lot of things are hinted to, but not so clear. Just like blessings before food, it's obvious. I need Hashem, obviously. So Hashem tells you it's a less likely case. Because when it comes to the bracha on the Torah, which bracha is from the Torah? The bracha before the Torah or the bracha after the Torah? Kishem Hashem Ekra. What does that mean? When I take Hashem's name, have a good lelakenu. Give greatness to God. Ramban says the whole Torah is God's names. When you're going to say God's names, which means before you say that, before you learn Torah, say a bracha. The bracha before the Torah is from the Torah. Why? Why not the bracha after the Torah? So Torah, it's opposite from food. That's a bit interesting. Why? Because when you learn Torah, you appreciate it. Obviously, you're going to say a bracha. Before you learn Torah, the Torah says, even before you appreciate Torah, learn, say a bracha as well. It tells you the less likely case. The more likely case, the Torah doesn't tell you. It's amazing. The Torah tells you the less likely case. From the less likely case, kal v'chomer, obviously you're going to do the more likely case. So the Torah is just hinting certain things to us, and we have to learn out the rest. It's white fire and black fire. Or black fire and white fire. We've got to learn out the rest, right? You get the white fire and the black fire, but now you got to figure out the black fire. What about the rest of the Torah? It's amazing. So, the Torah does not say you have to love your parents, but it's obvious.
Yeah, but there are cases like people get divorced.
Yes.
And there are fathers who aren't that involved
yes.
with their children. And the children aren't going to really love that father.
You're right. You're right.
So, it's not always obvious in every case.
No, I'm just saying that it's not something which is it's something which is so obvious you don't need to think about even. That's what it should be. Well, in today's society, it's not. But it should be a given. And why? Because just the fact that the father brought the child into this world, that's what I'm saying. The fact that
for the child to have feelings of love, there has to be in fact, to have feelings of love for Hashem or for anybody or for even for yourself, it has to be a communication, a connection,
not necessarily. I'm just saying, the fact that you're alive, the fact that I'm alive, I was going to say.
But then that's appreciation, really.
It's appreciation. What is appreciation? What is love, then?
Love is what? A bond with somebody that...
It's a bond. So where do you get a bond from? What kind of bond is it? It's a bond of appreciation. Love is a bond of appreciation. But really, the truth is, the root of the word ahava is hav. Okay. It's giving. In other words, it's the bond which says, first I appreciate. Before you give, you have to appreciate. It's very hard to give without appreciation. So I appreciate so much that I want to give back. That's love. I appreciate so much. So now, that's love of Hashem we're going to talk about. I appreciate Hashem so much. He gave me so much, but I don't have so much. He's born disabled. He's born with troubles. But the fact is, the person's alive. And that's what people don't appreciate. And that's why it's very important, even a person who is on life support. Some people say, keep them on life support. It was Rav Eliashiv, what happened was, it was a big change in Shari Tzedek. Because Shari Tzedek has a Rav, they follow Halakha. So the Rav of the Shari Tzedek was Rav Shlomo Zalman Oybach. He says there's no obligation to be on life support. The person decides, wants to be a chassid. He says, listen, keep me alive at all costs. Right? Resuscitate me all the time. Till it's impossible. He can do it if he wants to. There's no obligation. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman Oybach. When Rav Eliashiv became the Rav of Shari Tzedek, he says, keep them all alive. It just shows how different opinions. Why? So his opinion was it's a merit just to be alive. Even in the worst situation, even though the guy he's in pain and he's dying of cancer, it's horrible. It's a horrible situation. Rav Moshe Feinstein says no obligation. Person's in pain, definitely there's no obligation. Keep people alive. Why? Because we have to understand life is, I don't know, we don't know what it is. We don't know life is. Life with tsar increases a person's merits in Olam Haba. We learned that in the Gemara. The Gemara says there's Yisurin Shel Ahava. Number one is if they have problems and this is kapara. Best kapara. It's better to get kapara down here than get kapara over there. Now a person thinks, you know, I'll shoot myself because I'm in pain. Wrong. From the frying pan to the fire. We don't know what's going on over there. This world, it's better to get everything done in this world. People don't realize that. So just being alive, even in tremendous pain and all the sorrow and everything, it's worth trillions. People don't, we don't realize that. We have to understand that. That just life itself is so important. Just being alive. And that's why Judaism, the first thing, first principle in Judaism is V'chai Bahem. It's more important than all the mitzvot except for the three cardinal mitzvot. And then Chilul Hashem. Hopefully it's exceptional. But Yom Kippur, Shabbat, Kashrut, everything. V'chai Bahem, V'chai Bahem, V'chai Bahem, V'chai Bahem. Very important. Stay alive. Just stay alive as a Jew. The person says, I survived the Holocaust. That is a Kiddush Hashem. Jew's alive and he knows life is important. It's very hard to stay alive. It's very hard. That's why we give kavod to older people. Why? Because they stayed alive through all their problems in life. Everyone has problems in life. The guy reached the age of 70, everyone has to stand up for them. Jew, non-Jew, doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference.
You know, the oldest man in the world now is Jewish.
Baruch Hashem, and a Holocaust survivor.
And a Holocaust.
A miracle. It's a miracle. But we don't realize
it's
a nest.
Wow. Something pounds at the time that he
wore. Wow. Neskadol. Neskadol. So Neskadol, and he deserves, he's going to get a medal from Hashem. Because it's a Kiddush Hashem. What he's doing is just staying alive is a Kiddush Hashem. We have a guy here. Says the Satmar Rebbe went to Israel. First Satmar Rebbe. Very controversial. Anyway, he went to Israel. Everyone came, all the Hasidim come for a bracha. And then they tell him, Rabbi, who do you go to when you're not here? He said, if you can find a person with the numbers on his arm, with the marks of the tefillin on his hand, you go to them for a bracha. Well, we have someone in the shul. With all the marks of suffered tremendous, we don't even understand suffering. So he buried his own mother. It's horrible, horrible stuff. Got beaten to the inch of his life because he had to clean the horse of the Nazi horse. And the Nazi would put his hand over the horse like this. He felt something small. He whipped him. So we have to understand these people are Kadosh, they're Kadoshim. People who passed away are Kadoshim, people who are alive are Kadoshim. Whether religious, not religious, but I'm saying, the person kept his emunah, whoa! What a level. Can't imagine. All the, and that's what we're talking about. That's love of Hashem. Despite what Hashem did to them, they love Hashem. It wasn't Hashem, but we think it's Hashem did to us. It's very hard. This is very hard. You know, everything's going well. It's very easy to love Hashem. And even then, people don't love Hashem. When things are going badly, that's the real test. The person really loves Hashem or not. Chana and her seven sons. Imagine what it's like. I can't imagine what it's like. He lost all his sons. There was a story, the Chafetz Chaim says, and there was a widow. First she lost her husband, then she lost her children. So she lost her last child. And in the funeral she said, Hashem, you took everything away from me. Now I'll give you all my love. Before I shared my love with my children, now I have all my love is for you, Hashem. How do you get to that level? Just maybe we never know. But a person can practice. We have to start thinking about loving Hashem. It's one of the hardest mitzvot in the Torah is to really be a true lover of Hashem. We can fake it. Everyone can fake it, but to truly have Hashem, it's very hard. It's really hard. So what is the Mivchan? He says, the test of love is when times are tough. That's when the test of love is. You see, marriage is in crisis. That's when the true test of love is. And they lost a child, or there's economic problems, or there's other issues. Do they still love each other? No, it's a big, massive test. It's a massive test. That's when the true test is. Even if he takes your soul, imagine a person's being killed and dying. What's the last thing they have to say? Shema Yisrael. Okay, one second. That's the time a person doesn't want to say Hashem. That's the time when a person doesn't love Hashem. That's the biggest test. We have to start preparing now. That's our test now. We have to start preparing. Every time we say Shema, we're preparing. Preparing for the last time. Preparing every time you say it. Practice it. That it comes auto reflex. It's a reflex. Even if he takes your soul, with all your money, the person lost all his money. What does he do? You gave me the money. What can we do? Try your best not to lose it. That's the first step. The person's going to look after the money. Don't waste it. But it's a very hard test when the test is there. When there's no test, the person says, I love Hashem. But the test is really when it's not easy to love Hashem. That's the test. The truth is, when you learn Jewish history, it's a miracle we're here. It's a real miracle. We read the terrible things that happened to Jews over the centuries. You know?
A lama. A lot of us aren't here because...
A lama, right. Exactly. That's the question we have to ask. Lama. But yet we can't say it. We still love Hashem. So in a sense, we can do this mitzvah today just by thinking about the history and how much we lost. And still loving Hashem. That's a big credit. If like the Klausenberger Rebbe lost the whole family and everything. And he didn't lose his emunah. That's the key, not to lose one's emunah. But he loved Hashem as well, on top of that. Kedei shelo tiyena atzarot adchakim koshi miniyai la'ava. A person should be careful that all the troubles and the pressure they're under should not remove love of God. Because a person has to give himself two answers. How does a person answer? There's troubles in the world. How do I answer? Number one. And this is a good answer for everyone. And the second answer is a deeper answer just for the wise. So first answer is for the regular person. The second answer is for just wise people. Number one. Kol bar David rachmana letav avid. Whatever happens to the person, Hashem does for the good. Right? Rabbi Akiva used to say that. That's Rabbi Akiva's favorite saying. And the Shulchan Aruch brings it down that a person should get used to this habit of saying, Kol ma David rachmana letav avid, whatever Hashem does for the best. That's halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. So something bad happens, bar minan, we should never know. We should never know. Sickness, loss of money, whatever it is. Kol ma David rachmana letav avid. Whatever God does for the best, we just don't know what's going on. Who, when, which, what, where? What? Of course, if a person loses a relative, seven relatives, yes. Of course. We rip, person does kriya, and says the bracha. Shem Hashem, sure. Seven relatives. But not only that, a person hears bad news. So the person lost all his money in a stock crash, whatever it was. But as soon as he hears, the Gemara says, brachot. A person's going to say that. It's just the same way to say a bracha on good things and say a bracha on bad things. How do you do that? How do you say a bracha? Hashem. Thanking Hashem for the bad. Thank Hashem for the bad. And that's they learn out b'chol me'odecha. With b'chol me'odecha, with all your might, b'chol midah u'midah shu modeh lecha. In every way that he gives you. Listen, this is a big test we don't hear. We don't want to be tested. Bezrat Hashem will never be tested. Hashem should bless us all the time, and we should love him, but practice. But the truth is, we have enough bad to love him for. We're practicing all the bad. There's so much bad in Jewish history. Look, despite all the bad that did to our ancestors and this, Hashem, we love you. We love you. There's no alternative. There is no alternative to Hashem. There's nothing else. What is it? Nothingness. There's nothing. There's nothing else. You can't avoid Hashem. So that's what Elie Wiesel says, right? You can argue with Hashem, but you can't avoid him. You can't ignore him. There's no ignoring Hashem. There's nothing. That's the reality. The reality is everything's Hashem. That's the reality. So we don't understand. What I say is, you don't understand a clip of the movie. We didn't see the whole movie. We just see a little clip of the movie. Let's just see a few years in this world. The truth is, the universe is unlimited, and Hashem is unlimited. So we don't see the spiritual dimension. We just see the physical dimension. We can see half of the picture. We don't see half the picture. Just like an iceberg. You're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. This is the tip of the iceberg. This world is the tip of the iceberg.
You can't come in.
And we can't see the rest of the iceberg because the iceberg is submerged. That's the trouble. The iceberg is submerged, but we can see the tip of the iceberg. So the first answer is Kol Ma David Rachmana Letav Avid. Whatever Hashem does is for the good. So even now, right now, it looks bad. But truth is, it's good. And the famous analogy is the doctor. Psst. The doctor. Huh? A doctor, a surgeon, right? What happens? The guy has a problem. And he goes to the surgeon.
Sit down.
And the surgeon says, let's amputate. Right? You have to amputate the leg. The guy has circulatory problems. They have infection. They have diabetes. Right? Happens all the time, unfortunately. We had a guy in the shul. We buried his finger, then we buried his toes, then we buried his legs. Then we buried him. Bar Minna. Diabetes, horrible thing. And you know what? This guy was a survivor of the Holocaust as well. The happiest man I ever saw. I've never seen a guy like that. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, that is a tzaddik. That is a man who was happy with all his misfortunes. He was always smiling and always happy and always greeting people. Whew. That's a high level. Very high level. That's a guy to get a bracha from. That's a very high level. All his suffering. Wow. So the analogy is the doctor, right? So the doctor saved the guy's life. He cut off his toes and he saved the guy's life. So will the guy hate the doctor or will like the doctor? They like him. Why? He loved him. Why? He saved his life. That's the analogy. So same thing. Person's going to think. Hashem did this bad to him, but he saved him in the long run. One bad thing. It's like a surgery. But the rest of the time is all good. So it looks evil, it looks bad, but it was really the best thing for the person. And so therefore, the sick person is not going to stop loving the doctor because of this. On the opposite, he's going to love the doctor even more because the doctor saved his life. And same thing, a person's got to think about Hashem. Hashem does sometimes bad, but the bad thing is to fix the person. We have to know. Now Rizal says, when a person gets punished, it's the best bracha they got. Hashem saved them from something worse. Because Hashem gives it to them in this world to fix the person. So we have to take, it's like a father smacked his son. It's the best thing for the son, sometimes. It's for the son to wake up and try and change. Father said, Daddy says, son, I love you so much. Why are you doing these things? Wake up. It's a reminder. Hashem sometimes gives us a reminder. And so what happens is we have to use that and motivate ourselves to get better. The person's going to use it to grow. If the person uses it to grow, it's well worth it. It's well worth everything. Well worth every penny. And the person should love God more. So that's the analogy for everyone. That the doctor is Hashem. Sometimes the medicine is bitter, but the idea is to save the person's life, and therefore the person's going to give greatness to Hashem, save his life. And that's a general rule. Now we come to the second answer, which is a deeper answer for the wise. Ach. Really wise people. They don't need this reason. Because the whole purpose of their lives, look at this, this is very high. This is a very high level. High madriga. Le'agdil kevod shemo yitbarach is to increase God's honor in this world. A really holy person, the whole idea is to increase kevod shemayim. Will this increase God's honor in the world or not? That's the question they ask themselves all the time. And the more difficulties they have, the more they'll strengthen themselves to break through. And the more they'll rejoice to show the greatness of their faith in God. Okay, so this anyway, it's a test. So that's like Avraham Avinu, right? 10 trials. Every trial was a trial of Emunah. I promise you, Israel. He gets to Israel, you're going to be like the multitude of the stars. You're going to be so great. He gets to Israel, famine. Goes to Egypt. Did he think about it? No. Hashem's great. He goes to Egypt to take his wife. Does he blame Hashem? No. Test. I'll pass it. I believe in Hashem. It's not going to break my emunah. Everywhere he goes, test. It's not going to break my emunah. In fact, it's an opportunity to increase my emunah. That's what a person's going to think. This is an opportunity for me to work harder. For me to show my might. The more difficulties a person has in the army, the more they have opportunities for growth and to get different medals. Same idea. So a person wants Kavod Shamayim and he wants to increase God's glory in the world, and therefore he's going to work hard on his Emunah. Just like a person in the army will show his greatness by the difficulties in the war. To show his greatness, to show his might. And a person who loves another human being will rejoice when he has something hard to do for that person. You know, I feel small sometimes when I see great people. And great people, you may not think they're great people, but I think they're great people. What's a great people? The husband would not leave his wife's side. She was sick. He wouldn't leave her side. He slept there 24 hours a day. He would go home just to shave and take a bath and come back and he He would hardly sleep just to make sure that everything was done right for his wife. And she was out of it completely. She was in a coma. They put her in a coma. And if he wasn't at the bedside, I'm sure they'd make a mistake. It's true. That's what happens in hospitals today. If no one's watching, mistake. Get the wrong medication, wrong time. He stayed at her side non-stop. I've never seen love. That's love. Another guy, his wife had some kind of debilitating degenerative disease. He would change her diapers. And with such love, he'd carry her around. And when she died, he was heartbroken. That's greatness. These are people that I feel great people. These are great people. These are massively great people. So that's, we have to show our love of Hashem. When things are bad, that's when we show love. That's true love. That's true love. When things are hard, that's true love. When the couple decide to stay together through the thick and thin, that's true love. That's true love. And so therefore, most people, when God showers them with goodness, it's good. We love God. When times get hard, that's when the emunah is tested. That's when Eov was tested, right? It's a test. It's a test.
And we should, when you feel bad the most.
Pardon?
A lot of times we feel bad the most when it's hard. Because we know we're only dependent.
That's the positive aspect of it. But there's a negative aspect of it. That is denial when things are bad. God doesn't love me, I don't love him. Very simple. A lot of people say that. Maybe there's no God. That's what they say. Holocaust. Maybe there's no God. He abandoned us. That was the case. They came to the Chazkel HaNavi, the Gemara says. God divorced us. Did he divorce? If he divorced us, what obligations do we have anymore? So Rabbi Chazkel says he didn't divorce you. It's a separation, it's not divorce. And he loves you, and he's going to bring you back as well. There's no divorce from Hashem. You can't cut yourself off. There's no divorce. There's no. A Jew cannot change. You're a Jew. You're once a Jew, always a Jew. There's no running away. You can't escape it. There's no escape. Okay, now we come to the three things which he considers the branches of love. So a person loves God. How do you show love God? Three things. Number one, dvekut. Dvekut means literally clinging to God. How does a person cling to God? And the answer is, it's mental. I'm thinking about it all the time. It's so hard. And that's why we have reminders constantly. Brachot, mezuzah, tzitzit. All these are reminders constantly of Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. And that should cause dvekut. So a person doesn't want to be dvekut, but these are all reminders all the time. You want to eat a banana? There's no choice. You have to mention Hashem. It's such a great idea. Such a brilliant idea. Because everything now becomes, Hashem becomes intertwined with whatever a person does. Only trouble is, we have to think about it. We have to bring him into our lives. We have to think about Hashem. That's the hard part. Even when you're teaching Torah, it's so hard to think. Who is the one we're talking about? Who gave us the Torah? Where did it come from? Person's going to think, this is Ratzon Hashem. This is what we learn Torah. This is Ratzon Hashem. We're learning the mindset of Hashem, the will of Hashem. The Torah is the will of Hashem. And that brings a person to a higher level of Dveikut. That's Dveikut with the Neshama. That's Dveikut of the soul. That's Dveikut of the thoughts, which are Neshama. So a person eating an apple, that's Dveikut of the body. Same Baruch Hashem, who gave me the apple. That's Dveikut of the taste and the benefits. But Dveikut of the mind is Torah. It's a higher level of Dveikut. Simcha, joy. So a person has joy, that's why a truly spiritual person will always be happy. And the happiest man I've ever seen was Rav Yitzhak Kaduri. He was always smiling. And he was always smiling when he should have been unhappy. He was happy. I've never seen the guy not smiling. Always smiling. Always smiling. Always had a smile on his face. And you couldn't get off that smile off his face. He was happy. Why is he happy? Happy. Hashem, his father is there. His father's looking after him. If you know your father's watching you, even though things are not doing well, but you know you have a powerful Father in heaven. Well, no problem. Person be happy all the time. It's so hard. This is so hard to get to that level. So simcha is a product of spirituality. A person is happy all the time. It's a product of spirituality. That's how we know how spiritual the person is. A person is depressed all the time. It's a bad sign. Not a good sign. Not a good sign of spirituality. It's a low level. A person knows he's on a low level. He's got to get higher. He's got to work on the musar. That Hashem loves it. A person's got to feel Hashem's love all the time, every second of the day. A person's got to reciprocate the love of Hashem. And a person's going to feel happy because of us. Baruch Elokeinu shebaran lechavodo. V'hibdilanu min ha'toim. And every time I pass Pino's, I'm so happy. Because I could be one of them. I could have just been sitting over there at the bar, enjoying life, chitty-chatting, with not a care in the world, but truthfully, I'd be walking the wrong way in the world. Anu ratzim v'hem ratzim. We're running and they're running. Anu ratzim lechaya olam ba. V'hem ratzim, I don't understand where. We're running to there, we're right there. Supposedly I say, thank you Hashem for guiding me in the right path. I'll tell you, we'd be lost without the Torah. Be lost. No, I don't know. I'd definitely be lost without the Torah. There's no guide, and no ethics, and there's no morality. I don't know how many people can stay so good. I'm surprised that the world is not worse than what it is. It could be way worse than what it is, because if there's the truth is, whatever they have from us. They take it from us. The morality came from us. The ethics came from the Torah. Everything came from the Torah.
Go to Syria and North Korea.
Yeah, you're right.
And find out.
You're 100%. You don't have to go to Syria.
They're on the news every day.
You're right. 100%. Go to Brussels. Go to Brussels. Okay. Just, North Korea. You're right. There's a lot of evil in the world. A lot of evil in the world. But it could be worse. It could always be worse. And that's the battle we're fighting every day. That's the battle. That's the battle of giving a bit of light in the world. That's our job, is to put light into the world. So those are the three things. Number one is dvekut. Cling to God. How do you cling to God? Think about it. When you think about Hashem, you're clinging to Him. That's it. Person thinking about Hashem, you're clinging to Hashem. And the Rambam says, when you cling to Him, He clings to you. When you think about Him, He thinks about you. That's how a person gets to the high level of Hashgacha, of divine providence. How does a person get to high level of divine providence? When you're thinking of Hashem, He's with me, Hashem says, I'm with you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. Hashem says, oh, I'm with you, I'm with you. If you think I'm with you, I'm with you. You're thinking about me, I'm with you. I'm with you right now. I went to a bar mitzvah and I heard a very fantastic story. It's a true story about an Israeli guy who actually worked here in Jerusalem Pizza. He came here from the Lebanon War. Did I tell you the story? And this is the story he said. He came here on the Lebanon War and to relax because he was stressed out. He was the head of a platoon, and his platoon was separated from the Israeli army. They were in Lebanon, and they got separated from the rest of the army, and now they're getting surrounded by the Hezbollah. And things look very bad. Surrounded by Hezbollah, and they're terrified. That's it. He tells everyone in his platoon, everyone say Shema. Let's all say Shema. So even the Chilonim say, hi, say Shema, let's say it together. Shema, Yisrael, they all say Shema. He said he saw a cloud come from nowhere. He saw a bright light. They heard a voice saying, come, follow us, follow me. And the cloud went into the valley and covered them all. And they came out in the cloud of the valley. That's his story. I don't know. It's a wild story. But that's what he said. He said that on the eve of his wedding day, because he just had to get a message. He said, I can't tell anyone. No one believe me. They think I'm crazy. But I had to tell the rabbi who's coming to do my wedding, because I have to get off my chest. That's what he told him. It's a wild story. So you say Shema Yisrael, it's true. A person says Shema Yisrael, Hashem is with me. Nothing else can happen. And a person thinks En Ol Milvado, even better. There's nothing else except for God. Hashem is here, nothing else. Everything else is a figment of imagination. That's Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is, Rav Chaim Volozhin says, is our minds are limited. We cannot see the truth. We cannot see the... But Tzimtzum is internal, not external. So number one is Dveikut. Number two is Simcha. Try and be happy. How do you be happy? And that's Halakha. Before a person prays, a person's going to be happy. Eze Simcha. Lo Simcha shel Holalut. Not Simcha of jokes, of stupidity. Simcha of mitzvah. Person should say be simcha through the Divrei Torah, which is why we say Ashrei Yesh Bevetecha, because they're ready. That should make a person happy. Why Ashrei Yesh Bevetecha on Yud Chasela? You're sitting in God's house. Praise the you for sitting in God's house. Wow, I'm happy. I'm sitting in God's house. It's the best thing. You know, I had a guy who was Meshugana. Everyone thought he was Meshugana, but for me, he was the smartest guy around. Why? He said, I feel at peace in God's house. I love being in God's house. He's not Meshugana. He's the only sane person in the world. This guy. To come and sit in the shul, God, I wish I just died. I would just want to be here. So peaceful. So it's God's house. I want to be in God's house. And David HaMelech says, Shifti Beit Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai. I want to dwell in God's house. No, we have to go out in the world and run around because we're nuts. We have to make a living. But the highest level we have to know, what a person has to yearn for. Yearn for is Shifti Beit Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai. And that's Olam Va. Olam Va is Shifti Beit Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai. There's no good work. No distractions. Just stay in God's house. But unfortunately, or fortunately, it's an acquired taste. So if you get used to it in this world and you like it, it's Gan Eden. If you're not used to it in this world, you don't like it, it's not Gan Eden, it's the opposite. So it's very important to get used to this idea of Shifti Beit Hashem, to enjoy it, to savor it. Just sit over here and savor it. Savor holiness, savor being close to Hashem. And the third one is very dangerous. Kinnah. Kinnah is zealous for Hashem. Zealous for Hashem. Who is zealous for Hashem?
Pinchas.
Who else was zealous for Hashem?
Moshe
Rabbeinu was. The Maccabim. What else? Who else?
Elijah.
Eliyahu Navi. Which was Pinchas. Some people say. Pinchasu Eliyahu. This Friday we sing a song. Pinchasu Eliyahu. And every breath. Kano Kaniti. He says, Kano Kaniti. I was zealous for you, God. So that's part of love. In other words, love means you're jealous for that person's honor. That's what love means. Love means you're jealous for that person's honor. So a person loves someone and then sees someone denigrating them or hurting them, they get very upset. So these are three outgrowths of Ava. How does a person know they have Ava? Number one is Dveikut. They're thinking all the time. So Rambam says a very strange analogy. In Hilchot Deor, he says, how does a person know what is love of Hashem? It's like a man who's in love with a woman, he can't take out that thought of that woman from his head. He's perpetually thinking, I love that woman, I can't. He's thinking about it day and night, day and night. So too, a person's going to think of Hashem day and night. Halavai, halavai, halavai. Halavai, we get to that level. A person loves Hashem. They're lovesick for Hashem, like David HaMelech. Cholat ahava ani. I'm sick of love. I'm lovesick. And simcha and joy of being close to Hashem. Just to be happy all the time. Such a great trait to be happy all the time. Because when a person's happy, they're spiritual. True happiness is spiritual. So it's a very high level of spirituality. And zealous for God. Now we're going to describe all these three different things. He's going to go into details. Hadveikut, clinging to God. She'er libo shel adam mitdabek kol kach. So he says the heart, the Rambam says, is the mind. The mind of a person should cling to God all the time. Until there's nothing else. And that's Shlomo HaMelech's parable in Mishlei. Ayelet ahavim yalatche. So he compares it to love. The Gemara Amru, and the rabbis explained the Gemara. Amru alav al Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. They would say about Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. Hayoshev osek b'torah b'shuk ha'tachton shel Tzipori. In the lower marketplace of Tzipori, which is Tveria. Sino mutal b'shuk ha'ilyon shel Tzipori. And his cloth, his sheets, were placed in the marketplace above in Tzipori. What does that mean? It means he's selling things in the higher marketplace, but he's really learning Torah in the lower marketplace. He just couldn't separate himself. He has a store over there, but he's over here learning Torah. He couldn't separate himself. He was so clinging to God, he just couldn't separate himself. So when he should be working, he's really hiding him and learning Torah. And the highest level of this midah, Liot Adam Midabek Kach in Baro. The person should cling to God every second of the day. At least when he's serving God. If he really loves God, he should at least cling to Him when he's praying. That's the hard part, you know. At least. A person loves God, at least they should cling to God when they pray. What does that mean? That means the mind should be there and not wandering around. It's very hard. Very hard to focus the mind. One of the hardest things to do is focus when a person prays. That's true love. Love is when you're focusing, at least when you pray. Right? We're really meant to have Dveikut all the time. At least when we're praying, a person should have Dveikut. So hard. A person should be above time when they pray. They shouldn't have any inkling of time. It's like when you're enjoying time, enjoying life, time just passes very fast. When you don't enjoy, what time is it? It's like kids in school, right? Rabbi, how long more for the class? Do we have to write more? What time is it now? What time is it? Okay, good. That's not Dvikut. That's the opposite of Dvikut. Dvikut is time has no essence. Time has no meaning. Because the person's clinging to God. Time doesn't apply. It's above time. Yerushalmi Amar. The rabbis in Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Wow. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Hayo med palil. He would pray. Baha barbar v'kisho. It was habarbar, some kind of animal, right? Yeah, does he say over there? Huh? So swan came. Is that right? Habarbar.
Habarbar has to be a kosher bird because it's barburim slav v'dagim.
That's
right. And hit him. The habarbar came and hit him.
Habarbar.
Huh? And he didn't stop his prayers.
Type of snake,
it says over there. But you're right, Hanina Bedos is not scared of snakes. The snakes are scared of him. Yeah, you don't want to get. It's a kind of snake. Well, who Matsuto Habarbar met, and then they found the snake dead by its hole. Amru lo tamidav. The student said to Rabbi Hanina Bedos, Rabbi, Lori Gashta, didn't you feel the snake? Amar lahem. Yavoy lai mitoch shayah libi mechaveh betfila lo ikashti. The truth is, I was so involved in my prayers, I didn't feel anything. That's Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. When he prayed, he was out of it totally. I mean, these are very high levels of people. We can't compare to these gedolim. If they were angels, we are people. And if they were people, we are... Don't say what. But Dveikut is Harnu b'Torah. The Torah says many times to have Dveikut to Hashem. La'avat Hashem lekecha. Uldof Kabor, Moshe Rabbeinu says, and cling to him. Ubotid Bakun, and you will all cling to him. David Amar, Davka Nafshi Yachrecha. My soul clung to you. But it's going to cling to God as if they can't leave, you know. And so if you look at it, I remember when I was a kid, I had tremendous anxiety, separation anxiety in my father. I would scream. I remember. When I was in kindergarten, and my father would drop me off, I just wouldn't leave him. I wouldn't leave him alone. That's great. He would pull away from me and I'd just scream, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. That's the way it should be. You also like that?
No. What I did, no, mine was no bargain either. The first day of school, I wanted to be with my mother.
Good.
Because you used
that's
to.
Right. That's right.
5 years old.
That's it. That's exactly what we're talking about. It's very good.
You know what I did?
Sneaked out of school.
I ran out of school.
That's it.
My sister was in the sixth grade. They got her. Go get your brother. He ran down the block.
Exactly. That's it. That's what we're talking about. That's Dveikut. That's exactly what we're talking about. Dveikut is clinging to God. Don't leave. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was so engaged in this tefillah. So at least in tefillah we can try to get to this level of Dveikut to Hashem. Halavai we get there. So at least, Shulchan Aruch makes it easy for us. At least in the first paragraph. At least in Modim. Two places we have to try our best. At least the first paragraph. Try it. What I try and do now, I've got a new technique. And that is, I try not to pass Magen Avraham, say the bracha. If I didn't say it properly, go back and say it in my mind. Go back and say it in your head. You can say it many times in your head. It's not hefsek, because you're thinking about the same thing. So go back. Read the words again in your head. Just to make sure you clarify the thoughts of the first paragraph. Don't leave that first paragraph without trying to fix it. Right? Don't say the bracha baruch atah Hashem before you fix that paragraph. Don't have that paragraph and you're clearly in your mind.
It's a good time to do that at Be'ah Hava right before.
What?
It's a good time to do that right before you say Be'ah
Hava. Halavai. Even you have to say Hava before you say baruch atah
Hashem. Be'ah Hava, you have to say with a special kavanah.
Yeah, Be'ah Hava is a special kavanah. But I'm saying the whole thing has to have a kavanah. And the covenant is very beautiful. Why? Ke Avraham. God of Abraham. I think we talked about it last week, right? Ke Avraham, just... Ke Avraham is such an amazing tefillah right there. Eliezer was astounded. He said, okay, Abraham, right, send me this girl. And straight away, bam. Okay, Abraham has such power. Okay, I say, okay, it's Hak. Oh, boy. Okay, Yaakov, 3. Come on. So the Elkei Abraham doesn't work, Elkei Yitzhak will work. Elkei Yitzhak doesn't work, Elkei Yaakov will work. The Zechut of Abraham, Zechut of Yitzhak, because Elkei Yaakov, all together, boom. Of course, that's Kavanah, really pray. So you get it whatever you want. You can pray for whatever you want. Elkei Abraham, please Hashem. Elkei Abraham, help me. Elkei Yitzhak, help me. Zechut Abraham, Zechut Yitzhak. It's very powerful. Very, very powerful. Extremely powerful. We should all use that technique. Person wants a Shidduch. Elkei Abraham, please, give me a Shidduch, please. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elkei Abraham. Elkei Yitzhak, please answer me. Elkei Yaakov. It's very, very powerful. Very, very powerful tefillah. We just waste it. So at least that first paragraph, don't leave that first paragraph before you try and get it sorted out. Then Modim as well. Person can try with Modim as well, that paragraph. Modim, don't try. You get up to Uchana Eladot, don't say the bracha. Go back and say Modim. Thank you Hashem for what you gave me. Very important. Very, very important. That's Tveikut. At least Tveikut, those two sections. And then the person can build on it. So some things come naturally. Why? Person wants health. Refayenu, Tveikut. Barech Aleinu, Hashem, I want money. Barech Aleinu, Tveikut. Those are easier. When we pray for Mashiach, that's hard. That's really hard. Tipita Lishua, did you ask, did you hope for salvation? That's so hard. Did you really hope for salvation? Some people are very happy with their lives. So, you hope for salvation? Well, I'm okay, right? You know, Mashiach comes. Okay, am I waiting a few more years? You know? It's very hard. It's very hard. Person comfortable, it's very hard. All of a sudden, person's in trouble. Mashiach, please, come quickly, help me. The Rama says, we don't want Mashiach for that. But we don't want Mashiach for that. We want Mashiach. So we can sit down all together with no anti-Semitism in Eretz Israel and the Torah. So that's what Rambam says. We don't want Mashiach to take vengeance on anyone else. We don't want Mashiach to rule the world. We want Mashiach so we can sit down. Beautiful idea, right? We just want to sit in peace and learn Torah. That's it. That's it. But we yearn for that. We have to yearn for that end. And that's a very high level. And I had a friend of mine who's on a very, very high level. And that's the reason for Tikkun Chatzot. He's crying for the fact there's no Kavod Shekhinah today. There's no Kavod for God. We cry. It's a very high level. Some people are very high level. Think about it as a Kavod Shekhinah, the Kavod of Hashem. We said that's love. That's true love. That's a very high level. Okay, Rav Hanina ben Dosa, halavai, we get to the ankles of Rav Hanina ben Dosa. He had the Veikut complete, he was lost in his tefillah, the whole tefillah. He was in a different world. He was meditating. And the snake, no snake, doesn't make a difference. The snake died. that was a famous story, right? He put his foot in, who's that? Put his foot into the hole until the snake died. The Arud, poison snake. So the Torah commands us many times to have Tveikut. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Reish Lakish was a tremendous Baal Teshuva. He really was amazing, Baal Teshuva. To come from a bandit to a Baal Teshuva, that's amazing. I mean, this guy. And he came, became one of the top rabbis. Really, one of the top rabbis. The Chavruta of Rabbi Yochanan. It's very high. How can you get to that level? He's a genius. Reish Lakish. V'shlosh l'shonot shel chibah. Chibah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. God loves us with three types of love. B'dvika. Hashem loves us with dvikut, clings to us. B'chashika, with cheshek, with desire. B'chavitza, and chefetz. Chafetz chayim. Because desires life, Hashem desires us. Hey, mamash anfe ha'ahava. And all these three things are part of love. They're all parts of desire and dvikut, which are all parts of love. Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. We have to remember that. There's a mitzvah to love God, but really Hashem loves us more than we love Him. More than we can ever love Him. And that's something which we have to think about all the time. Hashem loves us. Beni Bechori Israel, you are my firstborn son Israel. Hashem says, you are my firstborn son Israel. Whatever the Christians say about God's son, they got it. That's the Jewish people. They don't realize that. But we are the children of God. We are. The truth is, all humanity was created by God. But Hashem chose us. Why did Hashem choose us? Why did He choose us? Because Abraham chose Him. Chose Him. Very simple. You choose God, He chooses you. Very simple. You choose Hashem, Hashem says, you love me so much, you left everything and you chose me, I choose you as well. That's how a person gets chosen. Yeah. If you make your will His will, He'll do His will like your will. But that, you know, we have to understand that. Number two. So number one we said is desire. Number two is, number one we said is dveikut, which is like desire, clinging to God. Number two is simcha. Hu ikar gadol ba'avodah. Whoa, this is Rav Nachman of Breslov all the time. Right? Simcha, simcha, simcha. If there's Hashem, simcha. Always serve Hashem with simcha. If there's Hashem, simcha. Bole for number and this is David HaMelech in Tehillim Kuf. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve Hashem with joy. If the Hashem simcha, bow lefanav b'nana, and come in front of it with song. That's why David HaMelech was busy with songs all the time. It's amazing. Through the prophecy came through music. A lot of prophecy comes through music. It says Shaul HaMelech. We're going to learn about it in coming up in Shmuel. He met the prophets, and they all were this, the musical instruments. It says, if you go to the Beit HaMikdash, you hear Levi'im sing and play the music. Ruach HaKodesh, because it gets Ruach HaKodesh. It's wild, wild stuff. Why? Because it creates real elements of joy and spirituality.
So through the music they had in the thoughts, is that what you're saying?
In other words, the music elevated their thoughts and got to the point where, I mean, a good chazan can do that. You have a good chazan, that's the job of the chazan really, is to arouse, is to get people to a very high level in spirituality. Yeah? Ruach HaKodesh. Eliyahu, Elisha, the music. It says Shaul. And we know Shaul was eventually became depressed, very depressed, because he knew his kingdom was going to go. You get David to play music for him. So we see music has the power. It's a medication in a sense. It could be a medication. It may be allowed in Tzviat Omer for a person who's depressed to listen to music. Rav Avadia Yosef says that. Rav Avadia Yosef says, today really we shouldn't listen to music. Why? Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. How can you listen to music? He says, we need it. Our generation needs the music. Just to be level-headed today. Just we need the music. So he's lenient by tape music, by not live music. I'm talking about the Hasidic kind of music, which he allows on, if it's taped, it's not live. Because you can't listen to live music, going to Shulchan Aruch, going to Ramai, you can't listen to live music and drink wine. Drinking wine is not allowed unless it's a simcha, which is a mitzvah. Okay. So, en ha-shechina shore ela betoch simcha shel mitzvah. It's got to be here, we are talking about simcha shel mitzvah. The shechina only appears to a person. That's why Yaakov Avinu, the irony, the catch 22. His son Yosef was lost, he got depressed. And since he got depressed, he didn't know he was alive. Terrible disaster. If he'd have been happy, he would have known that his son is alive. Since he was depressed. Huh? Yitzhak knew. Yeah. Yitzhak. That's why he's called Yitzhak. Because you cannot serve God, can't give your life for God on the altar without being happy, otherwise waste. If Yitzhak was not happy when he was on the Mizbeach, it'd be a terrible tragedy. He was happy. The frogs going into the ovens, that's the comparison, right? But they were serving Hashem. A lot of Jews in the Holocaust, Bar Minna, they gave their lives with love. They were serving Hashem. So we have to get to this level of happiness, Israel Hashem will all be happy. If do Hashem b'simcha, Amru b'midrash, Amar Rabbi Evo says, Shnei omed litpalel, Yehe lebcha sameach alecha. When a person prays, they should be happy that they're praying in front of Hashem. There's nothing like that. There's no one who has an audience with the King of Kings. This is the true joy. That he is zochet to serve Hashem. That's amazing. To learn God's Torah, to learn its mitzvot. That should be true happiness. B'ezras Hashem, we'll get to that level where we can be happy. If a person goes to Shira, they should be happy. We're serving, learning about Hashem. We're serving Hashem. We are the fortunate ones.